Hey, everybody. It is The Wow, the Woody Overton Window. Mike Agovino here with Woody Overton for episode number 31 for Friday, September 27th, 2024. Woody, how's Grandpa?
Grandpa is good, man. I learned how to take photographs when you're like on FaceTime. And you can take photographs. I'm snapping the whole time. And when I got her on the phone, and I'm going to record stories for so she can hear my voice. She knows my voice. Like when she hears it, she just lights up and smiles. And
wouldn't it be something if from 2,000 miles away, her first word was Woody?
Yeah. My daughter wants to call me.
You're FaceTiming her every day and making her listen to your voice. Yeah, that's right. I forgot.
Yeah, Popo. Every day.
I like Popo's pretty. She is obviously, it fits.
Yeah. Hey, I want to say, I know you're in Florida. Man, I've got so much experience over 30 years being in the storms and working the storms, working dead bodies in the storms and after the storms. And, hurricane, are they calling Helene or Helen?
The storm? Helena, I think is Helena. What it is.
That was my grandmother's name. And my sister's name is Sydney Helene. But prayers to everybody in Florida and everybody that's going to be affected by the storm. We understand your pain. And just hunker down. Don't go outside. You can get hit by flying debris, and don't go outside afterwards when the power lines are down. I've worked some of the cases where people get electrified, and just stay safe. And if they tell you to get out, get out. Go to a shelter or whatever. And because when the storm, after 30 miles an hour winds pick up, they're not coming for you anymore until it's over with.
Yeah, and now what they're saying now is if you haven't left yet,
it's too late.
It's too late to try and leave because the traffic situation on I-75, on I-10, et cetera, is so bad.
Yeah.
All these people that were trying to get out of Tampa late yesterday and this morning, although Tampa's going to get a lot of storm surge.
Right.
It looks like the path is a path a hurricane's never taken in the recorded history, where it's going to go right over Tallahassee is what it looks like.
Yeah.
And, they're talking about it is a really wide storm and it's traveling really fast. It's a 20 plus mile an hour storm. So I guess that's the good news. It'll get through quickly.
Right.
But it's going to hit a wide area and there's going to be, some places that are going to be weeks without power. But, sort of makes you wonder, because you look at what's going on with the storm, it's a one right now, still.
Right.
A category one.
Yeah.
But they're saying it could be a four by the time it makes land. That Gulf is so warm where, the last piece of this path. Well, back in the day, maybe even, 50 years ago, technology wasn't there for them to anticipate this storm strengthening and becoming what it looks like it's going to become. The people were really at the mercy of Mother Nature.
The thing about it is knock on wood, they never get it right. It's going to take either a turn, more to the north or more to the south, or it's going to decrease. This time it may increase, but they never get it right.
They were saying that because of the speed, because the pace that the storm is traveling is at the very higher end of where speeds hurricanes normally travel at, that it doesn't have the opportunity for variance that a lot of other storms that are traveling at 8 or 10 miles an hour have, because it's moving so fast. So that cone is really narrow cone on this thing. They've got it pretty well located. It's maybe a 25 mile spread of where exactly it's going to hit. So they're pretty good with where this one's going to go. So people just be careful out there.
Yep, for sure. So let's get down to the wow for Friday.
he's about to say crime time. Well, you're starting with a pretty good crime. So it is crime time there on story number one.
Yeah, let's go out to Alabama and they'll be feeling some of the effects from the storm. But an Alabama man has been arrested for trying to hire out the murders of a estranged wife and 6 adult children. Now, look, we've done some murder for hire stories, but never the mass murder, right? That's crazy.
This guy is, I mean, yes, he needed to go to rent a hitman. That would have been the only thing that would have made this.
Muhammad A.H. Muhammad, 63, is charged with use of interstate commerce facilities and the commission of a murder for hire, and this is according to a criminal complaint job. And authorities arrested Muhammad, who owns a plumbing service in Homewood, Alabama, on Tuesday, September the 24th. And a preliminary hearing is slated in U.S. District Court on Friday or today. Muhammad and his wife were married in March of 2021 and are currently in an active divorce proceeding. Imagine that. Muhammad instructed a cooperating witness to just find me somebody to kill his family. And an unnamed witness connected Muhammad with FBI undercover employee who posed as a hitman and wore a recording device. I love to watch those videos, especially when they make the body, you know, the bodies look like it's already done and they get the final payment. But prior to September 21st meeting, Muhammad told the supposed hitman that his family had turned against him and instructed him to kill his wife and six kids, saying, "You pick and choose who you're going to take out and get paid. Start with one and take your time." Holy fuck. Federal investigators say the attempted hits were the latest in a series of violent attacks against the family. In November of 2021, less than a year after the couple's marriage, a Jefferson County, Alabama judge issued three protection from abuse orders against Muhammad, right? That's nothing, no good. But in the wife's petition leading to the protective order, she wrote that Muhammad has hurt me and my kids and used weapons against us, and claimed he said he wanted to shoot my daughter between the eyes. She also alleged that her husband would threaten to lock us up in the basement and kill us. He always threatens me and my children with violence. He has put his hands on my kids and sent them to the emergency room. He has put a gun and knife against my kids' heads and throats. He has shot guns at us. Wow. So the Hoover Police Department arrested Muhammad that same month and charged him with domestic violence for assaulting one of his daughters. Of course, as so often happens, those charges were later dismissed. And in April 2022, Hoover Police arrested him on charge of felony first-degree stalking. And they accused Muhammad of placing GPS tracking devices on his wife and other family members' cars, which was in violation of the protection orders. Hoover police and firefighters responded to the home of the wife's close friend on January 3rd of 2023 for reports of vehicle arson, and surveillance video captured the suspect's vehicle, which was registered in Muhammad's name. Now, the next day, Muhammad's son's silver Ram pickup truck burst into flames in Muhammad's wife's driveway. Wow. And on September 20th, 2023, his son's Toyota 4Runner SUV was one of four vehicles found burned in a suspicious fire. Then on December 9th, 2023, Muhammad's wife received a call from a man on behalf of Muhammad trying to reconcile the marriage. And the wife refused, and less than 12 hours after the call, another suspicious vehicle fire broke out at the wife's residence. It's crazy.
How was this guy out there still after all of that?
I don't know. They lost in the system, and they didn't take him serious enough or whatever, but now they know he was serious, right? I mean, I don't know how you don't connect one to the other and put them on your radar. It just, I don't know. But, you know, I always say the protective orders, because it's just a piece of paper. If they really want to do it, it's just like, you know, people say about guns. Look, people, if somebody wants to kill you, they're going to find a way to kill you, whether it's fire or stabbing or shooting. But Muhammad needs to stay away.
Well, if your sister, God forbid, was in a situation like this with this kind of a absolute crazy man, what advice would you give? What would you recommend she do?
I would report everything as soon as it happened, write everything down that happens in between, even suspicious stuff, right? And then if you don't get satisfaction or you still feel threatened, call back and get their supervisor. you know, call and talk to your sheriff, go in and see them, put the human face on you. And I mean, I've gone and Swim's gone. And
somehow I knew Swim was going to come into this answer.
At the request of the higher ups have said, hey, this douchebag has done this, but we don't really have him on anything. Why don't you go have a chat with him? Let him know we're not playing. If he does something again, he's going to be wearing bracelets. And, yeah, so a lot of times people will get scared off, and some of them just don't give a fuck. I mean, they got to do it. So a lot of people.
So that's good. I hadn't thought about that. Is that a pretty common move that, you know, and somebody will come see him and have an aggressive conversation and try to intimidate him a little bit?
It's easier than going and working the homicides.
Yes.
Right? So spend an hour, get your local Swim, go down and scare the shit out of them. You know, and a lot of them can't be scared. A lot of them can be. You know, but it's not the ones, and I always say this, it's not the ones who do all the, you know, online threats and all that bullshit you have to worry about. It's a motherfucker that doesn't say anything, because they're the one that's going to get you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of ineptitude or disorganization, big report came out this week tied to the July 13th assassination attempt on Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Government Affairs conducted this thing. Multiple foreseeable and preventable planning and operational failures by the Secret Service contributed to, I'm not going to say his names, ability to carry out the assassination attempt of former President Trump on July 13th, the preliminary report read. These included unclear roles and responsibilities, insufficient coordination with state and local law enforcement, the lack of effective communications, and inoperable CUAS systems. What do you see, CUAS systems?
I'm guessing that's got to be some type of communications. I don't know what the acronym stands for.
And many others, they said. So according to testimony from agents that were a part of Trump's detail and were assigned to the Pittsburgh field office of the Secret Service, neither of them were aware at the time that 27 minutes before the shooting, the Secret Service security room and counter sniper team was informed that a suspicious person had been spotted near that AGR building with a rangefinder. The shooter eventually took position on the roof of that building. And so these guys are there and they testify that neither of them were made aware of this sighting of this guy basically a half hour before the shooting, sitting there with that rangefinder. Shortly before the shots were fired, a Secret Service countersniper saw local law enforcement running toward the AGR building with their guns drawn, but that guy did not alert former President Trump's protective detail to remove him from the stage. So, okay, you're there, you're a countersniper, you're Secret Service, you're watching your law enforcement team running toward that building with their guns drawn, and it doesn't occur to you to notify get the president off of the stage.
The other problem with that is they don't have communication with each other, right? If you see law enforcement officers running with their guns drawn, you'd be like, "Hey, man, what the fuck's up?" I can promise you, those guys are on their radio saying there's a man with a gun on the roof, and you would have known.
Yeah, and this guy's saying, so the counter sniper told the committee that while seeing the officers with their guns drawn elevated the threat level, the thought to notify someone to get Trump off the stage did not cross his mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
how is that possible?
I'm pretty sure he's a good reader at Walmart.
Okay, so local law enforcement raised concerns ahead of the rally about the AGR building across the field from where Trump would take the stage days before the rally, but its rooftop remained unsecured. Advance agents on Trump's detail had also requested additional resources ahead of time, including additional drone equipment and additional counter-assault agents to act as liaisons with the local SWAT team. These requests were denied at times without explanation, according to the committee. Among the key failures documented in the report are an agent inexperienced with drone equipment called a toll-free tech support hotline for help after he couldn't get the device to work properly. So there were all of these, remember, in the immediate days following, why didn't they fly drones? Why didn't they have a drone that, well, yeah, they had one. The guy had received just an hour of training at some point on the thing, and he's sitting there calling a toll-free hotline trying to find out how to get this thing in the air.
Absolutely. So, it probably cost $1 million for the drone instead of $19.95, like a little cheaper than you get. But you know, what the fuck, man? We didn't have drones back in the day, and I don't get it. I mean, a drone is a very effective tool, right? You certainly would have been able to see it, but homie had to call 1-800 fly drone. How do you fly a drone? Yeah. Holy shit.
So sort of their summation of the key failures, they identified five things. They said, one, no clearly defined individual responsible for planning and security. So there was tons of finger pointing and not one singular person in command.
Yep.
That the two, that the AGR building was not effectively covered, obviously. Three, that there was ineffective communication and coordination between state and local law enforcement. Four, that Secret Service denied requests for additional assets ahead of time. And five, the failure to prevent Trump from taking the stage or relaying the information about a suspicious person to get him off the stage. So those are five.
I don't know what number six could be. I mean, everything's so fucked up one through five. What else could there be? Just nobody showed up for protective detail. I mean, that's everything that could go wrong.
It's the Secret freaking Service. This is the kind of thing maybe you would say if, like, you'd see in a movie where, you know, Rambo takes over a small town in Oregon and, right, you know, the police are confused. But we're talking these are supposed to be the best of the best, right?
Yep. And that's the thing, that they're still heroes in my eyes. It's the situation and the lack of leadership. And I guess taking it so casual now because nothing major's happened in so long. God bless them. But I hate the situation, and guess what? They hate it too.
For sure. And you know, now you got a situation where, you know, we have what happened out here at the golf course in West Palm Beach, and you have all the stories coming out of Iran. They're gonna try again. I mean, people are, who knows how many attempts there are going to be between now and election day on this guy.
Knows how many more they stopped since then. Just the information, right? Like, people saying they're going to do whatever, and they go shake the tree. Swim goes and shakes their tree, and they stop it. Like the one down on the golf course, of course you're going to hear about those. Firearms were discharged and all that. But, you know, Secret Service always plays their close little shit to the best. And I have worked with them, and fuck you to the one person who said I was a person who passed out flyers. Like I said, they don't know what I've done. And it never was like that. I mean, we had detailed briefings from early in the morning throughout, walkthroughs, and you know, they had the roving security guy to make sure everybody was in place. We had communications. You knew you had a certain pin that you wore if you were carrying a firearm, like a lapel pin, plain clothes, which I was. And to Secret Service as if they weren't there earlier or whatever, because they bring in a lot of their guys later on too, right? But I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't get it.
Well, the committee is saying that, so the committee is recommending better coordination and clearer leadership, including the designation of a single person to approve security plans, functional communication between federal agents and their local counterparts, additional intelligence assets, and other resources.
Yeah,
I would think that would be standard operating procedure, yeah, right?
That's how it was. I mean, of course, the intelligence and everything is going to be increased now with social media and all that stuff on Monday. But everything they're saying, that's like Captain Obvious, right?
Okay, so any situation like this that you've ever been involved with, there was clearly one commander. There was one person.
Yes, and that's not, you didn't really get to talk to them. They may have gave the initial briefing, or they may be in the room for the initial briefing and say, hi, you know, I'm especially such and such, I'm going to be in charge, but this is going to be my co-commander or deputy commander or whatever, and they're going to give you the briefings. You never talked to the motherfucker again. But they had people that you were in direct contact with. Otherwise, any asshole could put on, steal a pin and put it on, or steal a uniform and go in and do it. I mean, it's just so much that goes into it. And really, I'm kind of surprised this hasn't happened before now. Hopefully it won't happen again.
Woody, do you know why I want to learn more Italian?
Why, I go?
Because my niece is getting married next month, and that means a wedding full of these crazy Italians from out of town.
And when it comes to learning a new language, there's only one leader, Rosetta Stone.
Rosetta Stone's the most trusted language learning program, period. Well, I've come a good ways using Rosetta Stone, but it's time to take it to the next level. My niece's wedding will be great prep for a trip I want to take next year.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. No English translations. Rosetta Stone helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. It's designed for long-term retention.
And the True Accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Lifetime membership has all 25 of the languages for the rest of your life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off.
There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today.
That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 languages for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Do you want to set your child up for success? Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with a subject? Is your child ahead, not getting challenged enough in class? IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to be curious and empowers them how to choose to learn. Now, Cindy used IXL in the classroom as a teacher and now uses it to homeschool our youngest son in the 9th grade. The videos are what she finds that benefits him most in math because he's a very visual learner. The perfect supplement to your homeschool curriculum, IXL offers interactive practice problems, educational game lessons, and video tutorials for every topic you're teaching at home. It's easy to use, time-saving, and everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you're covering. Instant grading, helpful progress reporting, IXL offers instant feedback and explanations of new topics as kids use the program. Flexible and personalized. Kids can explore any topic in any grade level. They aren't forced into a single learning path like they are on other programs. If you're homeschooling your child because they were falling behind or because they were too far ahead, IXL is a great program to help them get the exact support they need. It's fun for kids, and kids love IXL's positive feedback, awards, and educational games. And it's trustworthy. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Real Life Real Crime listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Well, on that note, let's move to an oldie but goodie, somebody who I think we've both missed a little bit that was probably in half of our early episodes. We had a story about her.
I still find myself hearing show business at the end of the daily shows or aglets, right? But let's go to Wisconsin. My Wisconsin crew just left a couple days ago, and we had a great visit. But we're talking about she business, y'all. And she was the very first member inducted into the All Woody team on Real Life Real Crime Daily, and was a crazy meth head out of Green Bay, Wisconsin. And y'all know the rest about her, Taylor Shabusiness. So the short story for those who've been living on submarine for the last 2 years is this sex-crazed meth head got way too high and had some crazy sex with her boyfriend before him up and leaving his body parts for his mama to find, including a piece of his lower body part, his penis, and his head. But she provided further thrills when she attacked her attorney while she was in custody at a hearing. I mean, she shackled him shit and she jumped on him, whipping his ass. And at the same time, she held off several of the officers. But the funniest thing about that whole thing was when she jumped on him and was beating his ass, they were like, stop it. Because they were on the first name basis. Like,
that video is hysterical.
But they get under control. And then, you know, the next hearing, she comes in looking like Hannibal Lecter, all strapped down. She business has decided she was treated unfairly by the system, and she is appealing her conviction and life sentence. Shocker. Wisconsin paper says process has started for Taylor business to appeal her conviction and life sentence for the murder and dismemberment of Shad Thiron, but it will likely be months before the grounds of any appeal are known. Y'all, what that is? Everybody, not everybody, because people that take a plea bargain don't have a right to appeal, but the ones who do go to trial and are found guilty, most states it's a year, maybe 2 years maximum that you have to file your appeal, right? You have to. And look, there's motherfuckers.
It's got to be insanity, right?
There's cases that I've worked, and you wouldn't believe this shit. Motherfucker files, they file their appeals late, and then never get heard. I'm like, you stupid motherfucker, you're in prison. You ain't got nothing else to do but call a fucking deal, and you missed your deadline. And
that's crazy. But it's got to be insanity, right? I mean, what else could she appeal?
I don't know. She's probably going to challenge it. They challenge the stupid shit. You can go to justa.com and type in her name, you know, when it comes up, and it'll tell you. It'll have the full appeal, and it'll have details of the crime, and then it'll have the full appeal, like ineffective counsel, and you know, I didn't like this jury member or whatever.
Ineffective counsel because I knocked him out before the
like my ice tonight. And then anyway, y'all know she was sentenced to life in prison with no chance of parole, plus another 10 and a half years for that murder. And they already rejected her insanity defense, although I'm sure, like you said, she'll bring it up again. The attorney, Greg Pettit, was assigned to her case earlier this month, and court records don't list any deadlines for them to file the appellate briefs, which would state the reasons for arguments for appeal, but it's coming out. I can tell y'all it's a year or 2 year time frame. And they're not going to file it right away immediately. They got some jailhouse lawyer that's getting there. All for your zuzu and zing zings from the thing, they got to pay them off, right? But hey, it's probably the best attorneys you'll ever find is a jailhouse lawyer or prison lawyer. But anyway, after that, prosecutors and show business attorneys will each submit legal briefs, and then the court will make a decision. And we'll keep you updated as it rolls along.
Well, I'm just excited to have her back, her back in the news.
Yes, back in
She's got to figure out a way to make this chapter exciting, although it seems like it would be very difficult to make this part exciting.
Yeah, well, I'm sure she's going to try an escape or something stupid like that. But
I haven't seen a recent, when I saw the story, I looked, there's no recent pictures. I'm dying to know what she looks like right now versus when she went in.
Yeah, the prison look. Yeah. So,
poor shit business. She just had a little too much meth that night and got a little, the game playing, she got a little bit carried away.
Just a little.
Just a little. Well, I was up this past week in New York seeing my mother, going to my niece's wedding, seeing a bunch of family. And it was great. It was awesome. And I don't do it enough. You know, it's
life happens, right? I get it about not doing enough. And I'm I'm at that age too now where, you know, all but one of my kids have grown and gone and everything. And I have regrets about being gone and working so much and stuff, but shit, you got to raise them. You know, you gotta raise your shit. You gotta pay for your shit, right? And somebody's got to do it. So,
well, I think this happens particularly to a lot of guys because I think we tend to, once we get married, follow our wives and our wives' families. That's right. Just sort of the way it tends to go. And so, if you're from different parts of the country and you're following your wife's family, you're settling somewhere near them. You're doing more of the holidays with them, et cetera, et cetera. And that has definitely happened with us where I'm spending less time in New York than I've ever spent. And, you know, my mother let me know about that. and she had every right to let me know about that. It got me thinking about it. And I just started reading some stuff and I found this doctor, a Dr. Shoshana Ungerleiter, who's like really focused on end of life mental health. And, you know, you got a lot going on with your dad. And, you know, I had my father get mesothelioma and steadily over a 4-year period. Now back then I was going to New York every 6 weeks or so. So I could stay, you know, really attached to him during that point in time, but still you have things that go unsaid or just business that doesn't get done that really needs to get done between family members. And this doctor is a real expert on this stuff. So Ungerleiter, who is officially a doctor of internal medicine, has worked with the terminally ill for years and witnessed people sharing what they are most remorseful about as they inch towards the end of their lives. So this doctor's only 44, but she shared the top 5 things people have regretted on their deathbed and advises people to use it as a reminder to live in the present. So she has looked at this across their hundreds or thousands of patients over time and compiled this list from all of those patients. So she says, being proximate to the end of your life really allows you, pushes you to be present because that's all you have left. And she's launching a podcast called Before We Go on October 8th on this topic. So if you're interested in the subject, Before We Go on October 8th, have no idea who that's affiliated with. It's not us. She's doing this. So she listed the biggest regrets. So one, not spending enough time with the people they love, right?
Yeah.
Two, working too much.
Definitely.
Three, letting fear control their decisions and not taking enough risks in life. Four, not being brave in the face of uncertainty or opportunity. And lastly, focusing too much on the future and losing touch with the present. And the doctor also said that along with recommending diet and exercise, she encourages people to reflect on their own mortality at a younger age to help drive them to live their life to the fullest. And, you know, I think that advice about focusing too much on the future and losing touch with the present is so on target.
Three out of the 5 for me are definitely on target. You know, working too much, focusing on the future and not spending enough time with the people that you love. Right. And also the end, focusing on your mortality, younger age. Fuck. I just never thought about it, you know, and then all of a sudden, I'm almost 55, right? And it's in the hospital, almost dead, 3 of them and stuff like that. So it goes quick, people. And I tell them that all the time.
Well, regrets are hard to live with.
Regardless of whether you go with 10,000 regrets or settle all of them ahead of time, you'll need people who will take good care of you.
That's right, Woody. And our friends, Roy, Kristen, and Kristen, under that humongous American flag in Broussard, Louisiana, take incredible care of every person and every fur baby we send their way.
That's right, Ago. Roy and the 2 Christens at Louisiana Funeral Services and Louisiana Pet Crematory are the best in the business, and they're really good people, too.
So regrets or no regrets, if a family member or a fur baby is saying goodbye to this world, help them say it with class. Go to lafuneralservices.com or lapetcrematory.com and tell them that Woody sent you.
It's easy. I mean, they're going to get it right.
What a debacle. Because our cameras, we're looking at each other while we're doing this, and there's always a little bit of a delay. So let's just go right now, Woody. Rest easy.
Best people in the world, for real. And talk about it every day.
I think, you know what we have to do? We have to do a happy birthday to Roy. I think it was Roy's birthday yesterday. Really? Happy birthday, Roy, buddy.
We really do appreciate y'all. And Roy, I got to get with you on a case. I need you to look at some stuff. I'll toss some stuff for me. Aggo, I need your advice on something. Giants, your team are playing tonight, baby. And guess what? They're playing against my team, Dallas Cowboys. Ever since you would think it would be the Saints, never been a huge Saints
fan. We've never had this conversation. I was sure you were a Saints fan.
I've been to the Saints' first Monday Night Football game and the when they won their first playoff game, stuff like that, just because it's close and all that. But ever since I was a little boy, I was a Dallas Cowboy fan. It's Roger Staubach and Too Tall Jones, that was my number. The 72 was my number. Of course, I was a lot bigger back when I played. The open office jersey and giving to the kid for a Coke and all that. I just loved them. Always have and always will. And they're playing tonight. Now, my question for you is this. Last weekend, the spread was 4.5. Now, today, it's up to 6. What do you think? Both of them were 1-2. And Jones just came and had a good game. And Prescott, even though they lost last week, they came back and did well, yards and stuff like that. What do you think? Dallas just doesn't have a running game. I mean, Dowdle and Elliott suck.
Look, I think that this game is the Giants' season, even though it's the fourth game of the year. Yeah. It's because you start off 0-2. They should have won that second game against Washington.
Yeah.
They Washington didn't score a touchdown in the game yet. And they win last week. And so, you know, if you can get to 500, then maybe you can have a season.
Yeah.
If you're 1-3, then, and you know, you're New York and you got this $50 million quarterback who's a bust. I mean, the whole thing could implode. And so there's a lot riding on this game for both sides. I mean, the Cowboys every year enter with Super Bowl aspirations and then, you know, blow it in the playoffs usually. This would be them blowing it a lot earlier in the year. My gut is, I mean, Cowboys have just owned the Giants in the last few years. My gut is that there's a home game for the Giants. There's a lot of just desire to get back at Dallas. And the thing the Giants don't do that well is defend against the run, but they rush the quarterback well and they defend the pass well. And so I think the teams this year, I think the Giants are well set up to do well here, but shit, I don't trust the money.
Yeah, the bad part about the Giants is the great thing is Malik Nabers. I knew he's going to be a stud.
He is a stud.
Him and Jones are finally hooking up, right? But it's always been a really good rivalry. But here's the deal. After Malik Nabers, I'm looking like on DraftKings and shit, the next receiver they have listed at all is like 4,800. And he caught for like 65 yards last week. But Dallas is going to double.
But Landale Robinson's good.
Yeah,
I mean, Landale Robinson's good, and he can break one at any time. Yeah. He's got great moves and great speed. Singletary is a much better back. Mm-hmm. Singletary's averaging more yards per carry than Saquon was the last 2 years.
You better believe Dallas is going to triple team the fuck out of Malik Nabers.
The Giants have not been able to block Micah Parsons since he came into the league. They can figure out a way to keep him away from Jones, that would be very helpful.
Let's talk about one dude I didn't actually take on anything, I don't believe, but he's last several years, he's been number one, if not number one, number two in the league at the tight end position, and that's Travis Kelce, right? Well, you know, he gets paid a lot. And like I said, I played a lot of that best ball this year where you pick the one lineup and you don't have to change it throughout the year. They just take your top scores. And But if Kelce was one of your cornerstones of your fantasy football team this season, you're not doing too good because he has sucked. And now he's actually come out and started talking about his poor play and his miserable reaction on the Chiefs bench Sunday that went viral. Kelce has had the lowest production through any three-game spell of his entire career to start the 2024 season. And, of course, everybody's busting his ass for it. And many have pointed to his hectic offseason and his life away from football with his billionaire girlfriend, Jeff, who y'all know I love so much. They're blaming it on that bullshit. But speaking on the latest episode of his New Heights podcast, which he does with his brother, Jason Kelce, who retired from the Eagles, Travis said, "I've had a lot of catches in this league, man. I'm not worried about the catches and the yards and all that. I have the most fun when I get the ball thrown my way. I mean, who doesn't? It has everything to do with execution and just making sure we're doing everything we can to win these football games. That's always going to be the goal. I think everyone saw my drop in the fourth quarter." Yep, especially everybody that had the point spread. "I think everyone saw my drop in the fourth quarter and the crucial third down, just trying to do too much before putting the ball away. That's probably the biggest thing for me is making the big making the play in big time moments like that. I think with how defense is playing us right now, I'm not really getting a lot of opportunities to make plays down the field, but not use that as an excuse. And moving forward, still trying to make sure I can help the team out in that regard, knowing I've been that weapon for us in the past. Moving forward, everyone's just tweaking their game in the right direction." So far in 2024, Kelce's three games totals look more like a single game total for the rest of his career. He has just 8 catches for 73 yards.
Yowza.
Right? And his team, the Chiefs, have managed to win the first three games despite his drop in performance, but did not cover the spread last week, and that's what I'm going to tell you about that. Quarterback Patrick Mahomes said, "We'll be fine. Travis just needs to get his head out of Taylor's ass and get back on the football field." Okay, maybe Mahomes didn't say that, but he would if he was being honest. Yeah, come on, Kelce.
He totally would if he was being honest. Come on. Yeah. And tell me that's not going on in the locker room where people aren't giving him shit about her. Yeah. And look, he's followed her all. I mean, how many places he went on that tour with her all over the world? I mean, I just find it hard to believe that he had the kind of offseason training that he's had for the other years of his career. Yeah. He doesn't look explosive. He's had hands of glue his entire career, and now they look like hands of stone. I don't know. I just
– yeah. He's going to I'm so afraid that he's going to come in and put up 48 points this weekend.
He might. If he does, we'll do a retraction next week. So, but yeah, Travis, a little bit of sports today, folks.
Yeah.
And we're gonna continue that, and with one that's really close to home. I have to ask Woody. I'm gonna post this so y'all are gonna be able to see this. But there's a link that I put on this story, Woody, to a video. I don't know if you got a chance to watch the video. It's a short video clip.
I've probably seen it because I know everything.
No. You haven't seen this. There's only one person until today in the country that's ever seen this clip, and that's me, because I did a podcast with Mike Tyson,
right?
And that is an outtake of me trying to get Mike to do endorsements after hours. We had already recorded like 4 interviews that day,
right?
Podcast interviews. And then I kept him to try and do some of these ads. And that video is freaking priceless. So
we'll watch it and we'll have to share it everywhere.
I'm going to talk about it here in a second. Right. So, you know, Mike Tyson has called himself a junkie and claimed that he was born an addict just 2 months ahead of his controversial fight with Jake Paul. The former heavyweight champion was set to face the former YouTuber, I guess, turned boxer, earlier this summer before an inflamed ulcer forced the showdown to be rescheduled for November 15th. So now the fight's scheduled for November 15th. The bout has been criticized in many quarters for pitting the 58-year-old against an opponent who's 31 years younger. So 27-year-old against a 58-year-old. Right. Tyson has not fought professionally since his 2005 loss against Kevin McBride, though he did do an exhibition fight against Roy Jones Jr. in 2020. Did you watch that? I don't remember that.
I didn't watch it. I've seen every fight he ever did way back in the day when he was young and I was young. We'd get put up money for a keg, and it was on pay-per-view, and we'd get everybody to put up like $20 when they came in the door, and you could drink all the beer you wanted and watch the fight. And this is all this way before pay-per-view and all that shit was big. Like the Leon Spinks fight was over in 90 seconds and in and around. But no, I followed his career extensively and everything through prison and everything.
Yeah, I don't remember. I'm going to have to go and search out the Roy Jones Jr. exhibition because I don't remember that. But with only 8 weeks now until the showdown, he has opened up further on his substance use as he prepares for the clash, which is this fight's at AT&T Stadium. Mm. So I don't know how many people they're going to pack in there for this thing. Right. So Tyson said, quote, "I smoked weed all my life. I was born an addict. I was born that way. I'm a junkie. So that's just how I was born," he said during a recent interview. Quote, "I don't know what to do. I don't get high now, but that's who I am. I switched my addiction to something else, but I'm still a junkie." He added, "I was smoking not too long ago. I'm cool now, probably 2 weeks or so without smoking. I did do a little mushrooms before I came here, though." So,
that's funny.
Okay, so folks, one of my early ventures into podcasting was a series I launched with Mike Tyson when I was back in LA in 2016 called Bite the Mic.
That's funny.
It was really early in the podcasting game. Mike's agent wanted him to have a podcast. He had his one-man show in Vegas, Undisputed Truth, that really, if you've seen it, it's fantastic.
Good. I was going to say, it's fantastic. Good. Yeah.
Mike has an unbelievable memory. He's got a great memory for facts and for things that happened in his life. And he's very well read. He's a much different individual than you probably anticipate him being, right?
When you're in prison, you have a lot of time to read.
Yes. He's also spent a lot of time out of prison still reading. I mean, he's a much deeper human being than people would perceive him to be. But when Mike lives in Vegas, so what I would have to do is I would have to fly Mike into LA. I would have to rent a really high-end studio. The interviews were either UFC fighters, old boxers, or hip-hop artists that, from the 80s and 90s. That was pretty much exclusively who Mike interviewed. And it really wasn't an interview. It was a pot smoking session, right? So I'd have to clear with the studio ahead of time that, look, we're going to pay a lot of money to rent out the studio for the day, but, you're probably going to need people to come in there at night because there's going to be a lot of pot smoke during the day and blah, blah. And literally, Mike would start smoking 8:30 in the morning, whenever we first got to the studio. And if our last interview was at 3 or 4, just straight through. I mean, just straight through smoking pot. And so the video that I sent you have to watch it. This is Mike at the end of one of those days, trying to read a script for a sponsor that we have to do for the show. And he looks up at me after he's just completely destroyed this attempt at an ad read, like a second grader looks up to you in class after you've asked them to read a paragraph and they think maybe they've screwed it up. I mean, that's the way he looks up at me. And it's just, it's hysterical. So I don't know how Mike has been able, he says just 2 weeks. So I don't know. The Mike Tyson I knew could not have gone without a lot of help from now until November 15th without smoking. And I don't think it's good for him to be chewing mushrooms all the time. I mean, you wouldn't pass whatever. He's got to pass some kind of test in order for the fight to be fully greenlit, right? So
yeah,
there's some kind of thing.
Pretty sure the reason fighting in Texas because nobody else for the license and fight. Somebody got paid off. Yeah, the shrooms they look for on drug tests.
Well, okay, so let's see what he says. He says, it says that he had to give up pot while training to fight Paul because it's on the list of banned substances by the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation. And it stays in your system a long time.
Only
with how strong the stuff is that he smokes.
Yeah. Because
he grows it. He's got his own farm and all this shit. The fights regulators will not assess Tyson until the day before the fight. So they're not going to test him until the day before the fight.
Yeah.
You're going to have, what, 50, 60,000 tickets sold, and then you're going to test them?
I'm pretty sure somebody's getting paid off. But, we got to swap piss and do whatever. I mean, that, if I was a cop, a person on the Texas Department of License and Regulation, they offered me $100,000 to swap out his piss. I mean, I'd do it. Okay. Slim would do it. Yeah.
Here's the thing. Mike is so strong, and that punch is still, even at 58, so brutal. If he gets him, if he connects,
yeah,
it could, you know, he could win this lights out in the first, maybe second round. But if he doesn't,
yeah,
put him down,
be done. Be gassed.
His 58-year-old body is getting, even though he's trained hard, I don't know how he could hold up for much longer than that. But yeah. But I thought you'd get a kick out of the video. So
yeah, we will. I'm definitely gonna watch that. Something on Jake Paul or whatever, and I thought it was kind of a fucking joke, but evidently he's not. I mean, he beat some ass.
It's been a big success.
It started out him and his brother just fucking around, and they grew their stuff and whatever. And he was like, "I'm gonna be a boxer." And okay, but he's pretty much a beast too, but not in a classical sense.
Hey y'all, changing my wardrobe from summer to fall. Hey, it's never easy. Luckily, Quince offers timeless and high-quality items I adore, ensuring my wardrobe stays fresh and I don't blow my budget. And there's nothing easier than going to Quince and choosing these high-quality items, like cashmere sweaters from $50, pants for every occasion, washable silk tops, and so much more. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, and I love that. Look, I got the stainless steel Link Apple Watch band for $59.90, and it's heavy duty, it's awesome, and it's like $100 less than I could find anywhere else. And I also got 100% organic cotton fisherman quarter zip up sweater. The color is alabaster. Man, I can't wait to wear that dude out this fall. And Cindy got the Mongolian cashmere boat neck sweater and heather gray. And I'm telling you, these are classic pieces at a fraction of the price. Make switching seasons a breeze with Quince's high quality closet essentials. Go to quince.com/RLRC for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/RLRC to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/RLRC. You'll thank me later.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
But let's keep it in Dallas and Arlington. All, you know, one of my best fans is from up there. And every time I say, you're from Dallas, and she'll come in to just have drinks and shit. And I say, oh, you're from Dallas. And she's no, I'm from Arlington, but it's all the same thing to me. but in Dallas, this is a story, but a Texas police officer was blinded when a gunman shot at her multiple times, striking her in the face during a targeted execution style murder of another officer. Dallas police corporal Carissa David was released on September 19th from the hospital, where her family says she faces several months of outpatient care. It isn't how we say it, but it's David, was critically wounded when 30-year-old Corey Cobb Bay shot at her in the parking lot of the Four Oak Cliff Community Campus on August 29th. And David had responded to the scene where Cobb Bay gunned down Officer Darren Burks while the cop sat in his car between calls. Now, dispatcher sent officers to the community center after receiving an unusual transmission from Officer Burks' radio just after 10 p.m. And Senior Corporal Jamie Farmer was the first to arrive and was met with immediate gunfire from Cobb Bay, who was armed with a 9mm handgun and a .22 caliber handgun and two shotguns armed to the teeth. Farmer returned fire before running across the parking lot, where Cobb Bay grabbed a shotgun and fired once, striking Farmer in the leg. Cobb Bay then ran toward David's car, which was parked at the entrance of the lot, and began firing as she stepped out of her vehicle. David returned fire but was hit in the face. And as the gunman led officers on a chase, the three wounded officers were transported to the hospital, where Burks was pronounced dead. And David was initially listed as stable but critical condition, and Farmer was treated for his wounds and released the next day. But she is currently blind in both eyes, and we ask for continued prayers for a miracle in that regards. That's what our family shared on the GoFundMe page. She had just recently gotten married to her husband, Josh, and is scheduled for major surgery in the next few weeks. And the family's fundraiser has received nearly $84,000, and the money would be used for modifications to the newlywed's home and tools aimed to help with her vision loss. And there are AI glasses, seeing eye dogs, screen readers, smart appliances, and a ton of other gadgets that will enhance her life moving forward, the family said. Cobb Bay was killed by police in Louisville, 25 miles from the shooting, when he got out of his car and pointed a shotgun at pursuing officers. And Dallas Police Chief Eddie Garcia said Burks was executed in a targeted attack. And our officers were targeted for nothing more than the uniforms that they wear and for the brave and honorable job they do. And I want to be clear here. The word ambush has been thrown around in the last 24 hours. That is not what happened here. Officer Burks was executed. That's what the chief said. And I covered the story, but not to this extent. And I didn't know this lady was blind. Prayers for her.
That's taking a shotgun to the face. Wow.
And losing the eyes. Yeah.
Yeah. So I can't imagine what those surgeries are. It'd be nice to know if they think that there's any chance of her getting any kind of vision back.
Yeah, but it doesn't sound like it, right?
You do wonder what AI is capable of doing in a case, in a situation like that, long term. You know,
I don't know. My brain doesn't even know enough about it, but I know they're doing some crazy shit with it.
Well, sad story there, and hopefully things get better for Officer David, Officer Dovey. Let's go to, the story originates in Detroit, but ends up in Washington State. So a fugitive sex offender who was dubbed Detroit's most wanted back in 2018 was finally taken into custody in a town called Burien, Washington on Tuesday after a pursuit by law enforcement. Corey Allen Olson, who was using various aliases while on the run the past 6 years, had been evading law enforcement while living in the area in Washington before he was nabbed by King County Sheriff's detectives. Olson had been using the name Randall, which matched the name of a person in Kansas whose identity was compromised while Olson was working temporary jobs in Washington State. So it looks like he's an identity thief and had stolen this guy's identity. Kansas authorities notified Washington State officials after that individual in Kansas was questioned about unpaid taxes on income earned elsewhere, leading to further investigation. So that person in Kansas has income reported from the state of Washington, but they've never gone to the state of Washington, so they're wondering what the hell is up. I love the Find Me puzzle. Detective Riley Michael Bust, who played a key role in Olson's capture, said. Michael Bust said he ran into significant challenges while investigating identity theft cases. After about a week of looking through 10-plus addresses, years of records, I couldn't figure out who this guy was, and that was a hint, because usually I can figure it out. Olson was discovered by detectives as he was stepping into his car at a new job in Burien, Washington. Police attempted to stop him when Olson pushed a sergeant and drove away. But he was captured a short time later by Michael Bust, who had been pursuing him in a minivan. Fingerprints confirmed Olson's identity, although he still refused to admit who he actually was. What did he say? He wouldn't give up, Michael Bust said. Olson's criminal history includes a sexual assault of a teenage girl and evading arrest by injuring a deputy in a car crash. He then moved to Washington State, where he was charged for another sexual assault against a person with special needs. During his arraignment for identity theft, criminal impersonation, and multiple counts of forgery, Olson's attorney sought to protect his identity, which was granted by the court. I don't understand that, how that was allowed. But police have highlighted the importance of public recognition due to a history of repeated sexual offenses. Olson often went to karaoke bars and presented himself as a wealthy investor with a military background, and then targeted women with teenage daughters. Detectives noted his presence in several communities, including Issaquah, downtown Seattle, Puyallup, I believe, and Olympia. They said he used several names in addition to Randall, including Josiah, Peyton, and Nico, with last names of Arb or Kada. This guy got away with it for 6 years.
Yep.
Following Detroit, but they finally got him.
Hard to catch a smart criminal, like I say. But, yeah. Fuck him. I told you I had my identity stolen.
No.
I'm so fucked. Now I had to put a fraud alert on all the national credit shit. And I found out it was more than one account and all that. And stupid shit. Like a $500 American Express. Well, American Express got it. One of them is a $50,000 limit. The other one doesn't have a limit. And I'm like, you motherfuckers, they charge $169 to the Apple store, and it shipped at some address in Boston. And I'm like, fuck, that's not me. And that was way back in June or whenever. And then it took my credit score from way up here to way down here because American Express is reporting me. And they closed out my other accounts. And I'm like, I've never been late on a payment and don't carry a balance. And then it transferred. Anyway, it doesn't matter. They fucked me. They got me on a Capital One card also, and it just fucks everything. You got to get all new cards, and even my bank account, the route numbers, and just totally.
There's nothing where I had somebody like 10 years ago file tax returns, false tax returns, using my name in like 7 different states.
Yeah, I remember and you telling
that
me.
Was, that was a nightmare to unpile all of that and get everything back in good standing. So I feel for you, man. But Amex at least is really good at fixing shit and getting, once they know, they take responsibility and they fix it. So hopefully you get the cooperation you need over there.
And I did, but they froze all my shit for 90 days. And just like when I was going to San Diego, one of the reasons I keep that platinum card is for the free luggage in the airport lounges and shit, right? And but I don't travel as much as I used to. But they froze all my accounts for 90 days, and then I found out Capital One had some shit too, and whatever. But it is what it is. Fuck you. Hey, whoever stole my shit, go fuck yourself.
Yes, and, most definitely.
And then, all right, let's do just at least one more. I know we're over an hour, but we'll read this one. This is kind of a crazy story, and it's short. So in Los Angeles, a suspect shot a passenger on the MTA bus early Wednesday before hijacking the vehicle and then leading the police on a wild chase for over an hour before he was apprehended by a SWAT team. And it's according to the LAPD. The incident unfolded around 12:45 a.m. when police received a 911 call about a shooting and then the bus hijacking at Figueroa Street and Manchester Avenue. Police say the suspect shot at least one person before getting behind the vehicle and driving northbound. The LAPD SWAT team eventually stopped the bus at 2:05 a.m. in the vicinity of South Almeida Street, about 6 miles northeast of where the initial hijacking took place. And the police deployed spike strips to slow it down and eventually came to a stop, and then the suspect barricaded himself inside the vehicle. Now, online images and live stream from local news reporters show an MTA bus stopped at the side of the road with an armored police vehicle in front of it and an armed SWAT team at the scene. And the suspect was taken into custody, and the injured victim was transported to nearby hospital in critical condition. And the motive known, and it's unclear if there are any other passengers on the bus at this time, but it does sound like that movie Speed, right? With Kanoa and Sandra Bullock.
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
That's what I thought of immediately when I saw this, and it made me think about chase scenes, because there was a great chase scene in that, if you remember that scene, that movie, the bus had to stay over 55 miles an hour or something, or maybe it was slower than that, or it would blow up. Right. And yeah, good luck staying at 55 miles an hour driving around Los Angeles. Yeah. You had to be pretty crazy to creative to be able to do it. And so I was thinking about some other chase scenes, and that one in Terminator 2 with Schwarzenegger, where it's the T-1000, that the guy that can melt and then reconstitute himself. Yeah. That was a badass. I mean, but back for when that was, I don't know what year that movie was released, but it was 90s, right?
Right.
That was a great chase scene. But anyway, so we've got them playing Speed in LA. Well, that's a lot for a Friday there, Woody.
Yeah. And y'all stay safe from the storm. Prayers going out for you, and hopefully you'll have electricity to listen to us on Monday for the WoW and the Nittany Lions episode, right?
Yes, sir. Stay safe, people.
All right, y'all. Peace out.
Shabusiness.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.